Well, joining us for his regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Good morning.
How are you? All right?
Well, a little tired. I mean, I stayed up till 2 o'clock last night until this morning, watching the first results coming in. Then I went to bed and slept for 5 hours, woke up and got up and watched the rest of the bad news coming in.
Well, it's certainly an interesting one. We'll get on to the election very shortly. Let's start, as we usually do, with Leeds United. And we're still looking for a manager. They're apparently talking to people in this over this last couple of days. Claudio Ranieri's agent seems to have ruled himself out, but I don't know whether that's just talk. But it's... I think that it's exciting because Leeds fans are, you know, excited to see who they're going to be putting in place. But also, it just seems that maybe Leeds are again starting this off-season behind the eight ball of everybody else. There's no coach, there's no players coming in just yet. They could just be, a few weeks off the pace.
Well, fine. If I saw Claudio at the cup final. He was sitting just in front of me, purely by chance. And... we keep in touch, you know, have lunch, Susanna, myself, Claudio and Rosanna. Because she has an apartment in Monte Carlo. And I don't think, if you think about it, names are tossed about. Where do you usually come from? Well, bookmakers, they will start a book, you can bet. Agents sometimes float their clients in an effort to bring the attention of the chairman of the club with a vacancy. And sometimes it's just pure speculation by the newspapers. I don't think Claudio would be interested in... Let me put it this way. I would be surprised if he was interested in taking over Leeds. The reason being is that, first of all, the new owner is unknown. As far as I know, he hasn't given any interviews, or been on TV, or certainly in my newspaper articles. So that it's like pig in a pork, isn't it? Pig and poke, that you don't know what you're sending yourself in for. And you only find out about them, a person, over a period of time. Like meeting a girl in a bar, falling in love, get married the next day. They usually get demarried not too long afterwards. I think Claudio is a good manager. He did a marvellous job at Leicester. And I think he's probably right to hold his breath. Keep his powder dry because he's not short of a bob or two. He's got his own vineyard in Tuscany. He has an apartment in Monte Carlo. And I think he has a house in London somewhere. And his wife is a very successful antique dealer in Rome. Don't think there's any money pressures. And take a breather. Enjoy life. And see what comes up if you want to carry on managing. Remember, he briefly became manager of the Greek team, which is a disaster. Didn't speak the language, didn't know about the players before he took over, and there you are. Anyway, we shall see.
Yeah,
getting back to Leeds.
Yeah.
The new owner should start showing his hand so that fans learn more about him, what his thoughts are, what his ambitions, and more than the mundane, we want to get back in the Premiership where we belong, all that kind of stuff. But he's beginning to cut it fine. I mean, today's the 9th of June. The season ended 3-4 weeks ago, and people are going on their holidays shortly. they've already started, which means that communication is a problem and discussion is a problem. And I hope we're not going to get a continuation of Massimo, who employed so many managers in such a short time. A little bit concerning.
Moving on, KB, to Scotland, England, which is over this weekend, the old enemy in the World Cup qualifiers. And it just seems to have, I don't know if it's because of the election or other things that have been going on. There doesn't seem to be the groundswell of excitement about this match. No, the Scottish don't seem to be that fussed about it. The English don't seem to be that fussed about it. Is Scotland, England, the game as popular as it once was, or are we just a bit fed up of international football?
I don't think so anymore. When I was a kid, I remember going to Wembley. I think I told this story, but I'll do it again. At Wembley, three and a mate to myself, in those days, you bought tickets and you stood behind the goal. And there was a time when Scotland murdered us. And behind us all the time with his great Highlander dress in his kilt, his tartan, crooning and screaming and shouting throughout the game, that even we were watching him as much as watching the game, it was more interesting. And when he finished, he leaned across us and shouted, "That's for bloody Culloden." You remember the Battle of Culloden, which we English beat the Scots. Apparently he was still bearing resentment about it, thought it's even the score. I don't think it's all that interesting anymore. I mean, Scottish football has lost its allure. If you think about it, with Rangers being reorganised and being relegated to the bottom division, and the last 3 years have been working themselves back up. But if you look at Celtic, look at Scotland, it's only ever been a 2 or 3 horse race. They don't do very well at international level. And Scottish players don't have the impact on the English game that they used to have. Because now, of course, you've got players coming from all around the world. And I gather Hampden Park is doing up. So it may not be the right event at the right venue. I feel sorry for the players who should be resting now and being forced to play World Cup qualifier matches in the summer, and sharing a break and being with their families. But they're more than free for now about running football.
Well, KB, the big news overnight is the hung parliament from the general election. And, well, it's thrown once again the UK's political environment into a bit of disarray. Theresa May doesn't have a majority. She's trying to get permission to form some sort of government at the moment. It's all a bit of a mess, but you know, quite exciting. People are engaged in politics. Massive turnout from the 18 to 24s, which is spectacular. So, a very, very interesting result. How this pans out over the next weeks and months, who knows?
Yes, I agree. I think it's disappointing. Right, I'm a Tory. I wanted the Tories to win, although I think they were rightly criticised for conducting a pretty poor campaign, and they didn't bring out enough of their big guns. It was, as somebody said, it was more presidential than prime minister election. But the problem is, it'd be interesting to see how the leaders of the other parties, but particularly Corbyn, face up over the next month or so. Because, put it bluntly, despite our differences, we are British, and we need to look after our country to the best of our ability. And to do that, we've got to stop the infighting between parties, the verbal abuse, on both sides have discussions behind the doors, behind closed doors, and then present a united front to Brexit, to the Europeans, when we negotiate Brexit. I think it's very important that we don't have the opposition, particularly Mrs. Sturgeon, sniping from the sides, because that would encourage the Europeans to try and take a tougher line they otherwise should. I'm glad to see that Mr. Fallon's got to go back to school, where he comes from, now that Lib Dems have been diminished a bit more. Some interesting results, which were positive. Losing Clegg, losing his seat in is it Hallam? Sheffield Hallam, I think it was, is good. He was a useless Deputy Prime Minister, and he was useless out of office. And I can remember, before the last election, him saying, on record, he didn't mind who won the next election, as long as he was the Deputy Prime Minister until 2020. I thought that was appalling. We've lost Mr. Salmon, or Nicola Sturgeon has, who's the leader of the prominent fellow in the SNP. I didn't particularly like his politics, but I like the way he always spoke in a measured tone. The deputy, or the leader in the House of Commons of the SNP, has lost his seat. So Nicola is been around at the moment. Not any much she says is, makes sense anyway. Just an irritant. But he's capable, because she loved the limelight, loved the TV. Of course, again, saying things in public which should send out the wrong messages to the Europeans. And of course, he's now just 10 days to start negotiating. So I suspect there'll be long, hard, late-night meetings behind closed doors at number 10. Where they're trying to work out what to do and how best to do it.
Interesting times ahead, KB. Once again, we thank you for your time. We'll catch up with you at the same time next week.
Yes, who knows? You might have a government by then.